Good evening, everybody. Extra points for you for coming out on a night like this. We have never had an Ash Wednesday service without either a weather or COVID complication. So there's always next year. I was like, maybe the devil doesn't want us to do this whole season of Lent, right? But we're not going to give them that opportunity. So I want to welcome you here. My name is John Horton. I'm the Bayview campus pastor, and you are?
My name is Tim Buckley, and I serve here as the worship leader of the Bayview Chapel campus. Welcome.
It's great to have you here. You know, tonight begins the season of Lent, and so really who are we seeking? What are we seeking in the season of Lent? We are seeking to know Jesus better, right? And we want to prepare our hearts and our minds to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we hope that tonight's service will set the tone for all of us in our Lenten journey. What can we expect tonight, Tim?
So we're gathered here as the body of Christ to, first of all, recognize our need for God and to remember that we are His and that He has found us. In Jesus Christ, we are both lost and we're found. And so tonight we have the opportunity to remember that we are mortals, that we have sins, and yet at the same time, there is hope through Jesus Christ.
So let's just give you a little preview on the elements of tonight's service. We're going to sing some, and I'm going to bring a brief message from Luke. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke for the entirety of our Lenten journey. And after my message, then I'm going to put ashes on the foreheads of the worship team members who want that. And then I'm going to go around and receive ashes myself and come up front. And so the ashes are completely optional for you. If it's a meaningful symbol for you, reminder of your mortality and of our need for Christ, you can have ashes put on the back of your hand or on your forehead or not at all. The service is about Jesus, and so that's completely optional. So at that time, from the front to the back, we're going to ask you, even if you don't want ashes, we want everybody to move down these two interior aisles and then come up along the outsides and receive the elements. And what we love to do here in Bayview is have you take those elements back to your seat so that we can partake together, which is a beautiful symbol of being part of the body of Christ. So we are in open communion, which means we invite all of you to the table of the Lord. So anything else we need to tell them?
Nope.
The lyrics for all the songs are in your program. And so we invite you to sing. If a song is new, listen and jump in whenever you feel comfortable. Let me pray for us as we get started. Our gracious Father, we thank you that you are taking us on this Lenten journey. Our desire is to know you by knowing your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us have been following him for years, and yet we still can't say, oh, we got him all figured out. Because we're still seeing him in new light. We're seeing new dimensions of his character. And we're being challenged by him in new ways. And I pray that that would be true tonight, that you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, would be exalted. And that being here in your presence, being connected with you through worship, might change us in wonderful ways, might fill us with your love and joy and peace with fresh courage and hope. We give this service and ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please rise in body or in spirit as we respond to God's call to worship. We'll be reading together from Psalm 42, which is in your program. Let's read together. I thirst for God, the living God. Where can I go and stand before him? Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, "Where is this God of yours? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad?" I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Let's sing together.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our way. You are the
Jesus Christ, he's the rescuer of our souls. He's our wonderful, merciful Savior. And that statement in and of itself recognizes that we are in need of saving. that we do have weaknesses and we do have failings. And it's important to acknowledge that. And so tonight, we offer this prayer of confession as a way to remember our brokenness and our emptiness. In the words of Psalm 51, we all read together. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. Take a few moments to silently pray for Jesus. Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Hear the good news. When we feel lost, when fears and temptations prevail over us, we are found in Jesus. He will hold us fast.
When I fear my faith will fail, Christ hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast.
Promises. and satisfied. He will hold me fast, raised with him to endless life. He will hold me fast till our faith is turned to sight when he comes at last. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He
May the peace of Christ be with us all as he holds us fast against the currents of life. Spread the peace of Christ to one another. Peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ be with you.
Someone says that, it always gets our attention. Imagine Jesus Christ saying those words to you. In the story we will read tonight from Luke's Gospel, Jesus says those words to Simon the Pharisee. And Simon's response was, "Tell me, teacher." As you listen to this story, I encourage you to imagine the sights, the sounds, the fragrances, and the textures. Listen carefully to all the words that Jesus says and to whom he says them. Listen with ears of faith for what Jesus is saying to you. Let's pray for the presence of the Spirit as we listen to the Word of God. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth, and we are listening. May our response be, "Tell me, teacher." Amen. Hear the word of the Lord, written in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, starting at verse 36. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house. He took his place at the table. There was a woman in that town who had lived a sinful life. She learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with a special alabaster jar of perfume. She stood behind Jesus and cried at his feet. And she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair. She kissed them and poured perfume on them. The Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this. He said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him. He would know what kind of woman she is. She's a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain lender. One owed him 500 silver coins. The other owed him 50 silver coins. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he let them go without paying. Which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who owed the most money." "You're right," Jesus said. Then Jesus turned toward the woman, and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water to wash my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman has not stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You did not put any olive oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. So I tell you this. I tell you this. Her many sins have been forgiven. She has shown that she understands this by her great acts of love. But whoever has been forgiven only a little loves only a little." And then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to talk about this among themselves, and they said, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So our story tonight is found in that narrative of Jesus' life. A little cultural background will make this episode even easier to understand. We see a woman enter the home of Simon, a very religious, part of a strict sect within the Jewish faith. Those people were very critical of Jesus. The woman is a notorious sinner. She was not invited to this dinner. So how was she able to come into the house? Well, homes in the time of Jesus, in the very warm climate of the Middle East, they were open. The doors were open. The traffic in and out of the house was much more fluid than in our colder climate houses. So if neighbors wanted to see who came for dinner, they could walk right in. And the woman brings with her an alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume carved out of stone. The perfume was worth perhaps a year's worth of wages. And it was usually saved for the burial of a cherished loved one. It was her most valuable possession.
I am broken at your feet, like an alabaster jar. Every piece of who I am laid before your majesty. I will bow. lost for words, will kiss your feet, kiss your feet.
Perhaps a song that she would have sung. One more cultural detail. When you welcomed a guest into your home, it was customary to offer them water to wash their dusty feet or to have a household servant even wash them. To greet the guest with a kiss on the cheek and place a little fragrant oil on their heads. That aroma of hospitality would linger through the evening, even after that. And so Luke sets the stage for us, beginning at verse 36 of chapter 7. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. She then wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. She's a sinner."
It was the look in their eyes. It was. Simon, like all the Pharisees, thought that this Jesus guy, this carpenter who became a rabbi, thought that he was a fraud. And so when he told his friends that he, Simon, had invited Jesus to dinner at his house, they looked at him with shock and admiration. They couldn't believe it. But I mean, why should he be afraid? What did he have to fear of this? Again, this carpenter with no schooling. Why should he be afraid? It was the look in their eyes when he told them that he invited Jesus. That's why he did it. He could imagine years from now, they'd all be reclined around a table after an excellent meal. And one of his friends would say, "Hey, Simon, do you remember the time that you invited Jesus for dinner?" Yep, it was the look in their eyes. That's why he invited Jesus to dinner. It was the look in his eyes. That's why the woman came. She had been in a crowd one day when somebody knelt before Jesus and asked Jesus to heal them. And she was in just the right spot where she could see the look in Jesus' eyes. It was kindness. It was compassion. And all through the rest of that day and for the week that followed, she couldn't get the look of Jesus out of her mind, and she wondered, could Jesus ever look at me like that? It was worth a chance. She was used to receiving a look of contempt and judgment and anger every time she left the house. And anytime she went anywhere in her community, people always looked at her with hatred. And even after all these years, it still hurt. And she tried to defend herself by being angry, and she gave them back their hateful looks. And she said to herself, what do they know about me? What do they know about my life? How I turned out like this. But it was the look in Jesus' eyes, the kindness, and she wondered, if he looked at me like that, could my life change? Could things be different for me? That's why she went that night. It was the look in his eyes. So Jesus is reclining at the table, and he sees both the woman who was there at his feet and Simon, his host, recline next to him. And he saw the look in their eyes. When he looked at the woman, he saw pain. He saw remorse. But there was something else there too. He saw hope in her eyes. Hope that somehow, some way, her life could be different. And maybe Jesus could help make that happen. And then he looked at Simon. And looked into his eyes. And he saw hate and judgment and contempt and annoyance. Like, why is she here? So Jesus said to Simon, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he replied. Simon, there were two men that owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii, which is a year and a half's worth of wages. And the other owed 50 denarii, which is a month and a half's worth of wages. And neither one of them had any money to pay him back. So he canceled the debt of both. Now, who do you think loved him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. And he said, you've answered correctly. Simon, do you see this woman? When I came into your house, you didn't give me any water to wash my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. When I came in, you did not give me a kiss. But she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put any perfumed oil on my head, but she has poured out this expensive perfume on my feet. And I tell you the truth, she has been forgiven because she loved much. And those who are forgiven little love little. And he said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And the people around the table said, who is this who forgives sins? And Jesus looked at the woman again and said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So I have two questions for you tonight. When Jesus looks into your eyes, what does he see? When Jesus looks into your eyes, what does he see? And when you look into the eyes of Jesus, what do you see? Do you see forgiveness? And acceptance, and peace, and healing, and love. And maybe when you look into the eyes of Jesus, you see that you can write a new chapter in your life, and Jesus wants to help you write it. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to the table of the Lord. Thank you. have all been served? So how do we know that we see love and grace and forgiveness and peace and hope in the eyes of Jesus? We know because of what he did. And we're fast-forwarding a little bit into the story. But this is what the Lenten season is all about, right? That God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let's partake together." And so we thank you for the love we see in your eyes, the grace, the hope, the strength that we need. And we thank you, our Lord Jesus. Amen.
So which character did you relate to in the story? I have to confess, I found myself relating to Simon. Not a very pleasant thought. But whether you felt like you were Simon or the woman or maybe even one of the bystanders, the Lord's table is open for everyone. Even for perhaps judgmental people like Simon, and even for the outcasts like the woman, and even for the perhaps ignorant bystanders. That table is open for everybody. We can present our alabaster jars to Jesus whenever, wherever. But especially in this moment, may we present our offering to Christ. May you rise in body or spirit as we sing this alabaster song together.
And I will bow my life.
People of God, hear now these words of blessing. Sisters and brothers, let us claim the freedom of Christ, the Good Shepherd, who leaves the 99 to find the lost. May he enable us to serve together with a newfound faith, hope, and love. Go forth, sharing the good news to all. Have a great night.